Man, it's good to be with you guys this morning. It's been a busy week, but it's been a fun week. It's had its ups and downs, but it's been dramatic. Bouncing, hammering a lot of things this week. But try to keep my composure. But it's great. This morning, guys, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start in the first part of the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to talk about envoy. E-N-V-O-Y. Envoy. What is an envoy? When envoy is a messenger or a representative of a high official. Back in the days, kings would send out messengers to relay the king's decree, demand, commands, whatever the king wanted to do. That's what the king would do. And that messenger would go out happily to say, hey, your king wishes this of you, or your king is expecting this of you, or your king wants you to know about this. That's what an envoy is. And over in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to be introduced to kind of one of the first envoys of the good news about Christ. You know, but just to give a little backdrop here about the Gospel of Mark, which was interesting as I did some research. Couldn't find out Mark, his Gospel, well, some scholars say that his Gospel is actually the first Gospel out of all four Gospels. That's what scholars are saying. They said because Mark had the privilege of sitting at the foot of Peter when Peter was preaching a lot of this. And I thought, how amazing that you can sit at the feet of somebody who's like, it's almost like first person almost. You're like, so you walk with Jesus, and so I'm getting like first-hand information instead of information disseminated down from person to person to person. But there's a little backdrop about how Mark came about to write the Gospel. And but the Gospel of Mark, of course, it talks about the good news, which is Christ. Mm-hmm. And you know, Christ is good news to all of us, especially knowing that he's our king, but he is definitely a creation of our creator, who is God. Over in Mark 1, I'm going to read here and just kind of open up a little bit. But in Mark 1, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, it says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, he says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. You know, one of the things here, you know, Mark opens up about the good news. And so what is the good news? The good news is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. He is, it says, the angels whom commanded both Joseph and Mary that their child should be named Jesus. Now, to understand who the good news is and who Jesus is, it says, now the name Jesus is the Greek rendering of the word, of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means the Lord saves us. It also says that, you know, Christ is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew name, which is Messiah, which means anointed one. So we get an in-depth look at who the good news is and what these names mean. So we know that Jesus, of course, has been anointed, the one that salvation is going to come through for us. So now we have the title of the promised king, the descendant of David, ruler of the kingdom, and the deliverer of his people. His title, Son of God. Wouldn't it be great? Son of God. I know we're all sons and daughters of God, but you know, Jesus' name just kind of rises above all of us. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's very unique there. It's really powerful. But it's basically clear that Jesus is not just a mere man, but he is a fully divine deity. From our perspective, he'd be considered a God-man. But here's the question. Is Jesus more than a mere man to you in your life? Mm-hmm. You have to think about that. Is Jesus more than just a mere man to you in your life?
Come on.
It is so easy for us to put people in boxes or categories of what we think they should be or how we feel they should be. But is Jesus more than those boxes that you have created and that you want to put people in? Mm-hmm. In your life? You know, do you consider that Jesus to be your ruler, your deliverer, your promised king? That is the question as you think about going forward. But here we see in the Gospel of Mark, it opens up and it tells us about this good news. But here comes the part where we're going to identify with even more. Picking up in verse 2, it says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. There are some powerful and great things happening here. John is the first envoy for the representation of Christ.
Amen.
He is out there. He's preaching the word of God. People are leaving their cities of that day, and they're coming out to the countryside, and the first thing they are doing is saying, let me just throw up and vomit all the wrong I've been caught up in, all the wickedness, all the righteousness. Let me just vomit it all up. All right, now that I got that all up out of my system, where's the water? They wanted to be baptized, symbolizing a change in their character. They wanted to repent and change. You know, ask yourself, what kind of envoy are you currently right now? What kind of messenger of God are you right now? What kind of representative for God are you right now? Are you a little timid? Are you a timid representative? Things get challenging. Are you a bold representative? Oh, I'm going to bring it. I don't care who it is, I'm going to bring it. Or are you a sidestep representative? Oh, they said I'm going to try to sidestep that issue. Don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. Oh, are you an envoy who likes to duck things? I'm just going to duck and hide, weave and duck. You know, what kind of messenger of God are you? Are you the full package? Are you the full thing? Or do you kind of add little things into your character and say, well, no, I'm going to be like this. God, that makes me uncomfortable that I have to be that way. Or I have to present your message in that way. Oh, God, I don't like that. Oh, so I'm going to do a tweak it, and I'm gonna be this kind of envoy, and it's gonna work out fine. You know how human we think that we like to kind of twist it up and change it up, but we think that it's gonna work. But see, God has a plan that's designed to say, no, I need you to be the envoy that I call you to be.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to deliver the message that I told you to deliver.
Amen.
And I didn't ask you to tweak or add on or take something out of the message. You know, I really need you to deliver that message accordingly. Will you be God's envoy to his people? That's another question. God, why do I have to go to the people and preach the good news? God says, don't you have a heart like John the Baptist? John went. He went out in the country.
Yeah.
It's like I'm leaving Jackson, I'm going out in the woods. But I'm going to let it be known that I'm out here preaching the good news. And he's going to trust God that people's going to come. Man. Will you be God's envoy to his people? You know, an envoy presents himself in many different ways. Let's talk about one way an envoy presents himself. You know, good news. Of course, we're here good news.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to be an envoy of good news?
Come on.
You know, I was in the hospital with Candace, and I'm telling you, as traumatic as it can be being in a hospital with Candace and all that other stuff, some fun times. You learn a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a lot of things, you understand a lot of things, you ask a lot of questions, you have talks. And I've been living with kidney disease since I've been 36, chronic kidney disease. And I've done pretty well over the years. Got sick a couple years back and it took some more hits. But I've been pretty well, pretty good, and numbers are going down. And so it's like, yeah, okay, man, I've been doing pretty good. And I remember all the conversations that my doctors had with me. And then I'm in the conversation like, well, Mr. Doctor, you know, you got to do this. It's all, but all the conversation was cautionary. It's cautionary conversation, you know. But Candace is in the hospital. She's in there and they said, oh no, her kidneys are just shot. They're gone.
Oh.
I said, wow, okay. So we know we're about to put on down. I said, okay. But while I'm in there in ICU and we're still talking it out, kidney doctors come back in. They have a couple of days around. I said, you heard it? Kidneys are still bad. They said, but Candace, here's the good news. You got youth on your side. You're young. We're not saying that you can heal, but we've seen people your age, kidneys heal and recover fully. But you got youth on your side.
Amen. That's good news.
Now, yeah, that's good news for her. But I was a little taken back, like, I didn't get that same conversation. Wait a minute, hold on. I ain't like I'm old, you know. How come you said she could, why come, none of my conversation was, sitting, you got youth on your side, you can bounce back. Where was my good news? I'm like, that's good news for Candace, buddy. Nobody tell me I was young. You didn't tell me I can recover. Nah, Mr. Doctor, you're going to need to take this pill. By the way, this pill will harm your kidney a little bit, but it's going to help this pill. I'm like, we're not getting the same message. I don't like my envoys. Your envoys better. They're telling you, you got hope. They preaching hope to you. They're just telling me take these pills and be happy. But you know, what an envoy, good news. I thought that was good news. You know, when they shared that about Kansas, when they say, look, you know, you got youth on your side, you're young. You know, if you follow all the criteria, the new dietary restrictions and everything, you have a great opportunity for that to come back. And I thought, wow. You know, God says every day you wake up, you have a little more time on your side.
That's right.
To make some better decisions. When they shared that good news with Candace, I thought, wow, they just told you because you're young, man, you got time on your side to deal with them. I'm like, wow. But at the same time, in my heart, it's like, I didn't get that same message. You know, so you want to be an envoy, or you want to be a messenger of good news, I should say. Mm-hmm. You want to be a messenger who brings peace and comfort to people when you talk to people. Because some people just need peace and comfort. They do. They need, they're like, man, this is just terrible. It's horrible. What's going on? I need peace and comfort.
Amen.
You know, spent a lot of time at Kansas Hospital, and I was home, and Sharice, like, she wanted to stay home and not necessarily run up there. And I said, no problem. It's cool. I said, I'm going to go up there and everything. Candace ring the phone about that day. The Ramblers book come on. She ring the phone that morning. She's on the phone. She's crying and she's emotional. And she's like, oh. And I think she just came out of surgery not too long ago. And she said, pain, I'm hurting. I have pain. But the nurse is not doing this right. And so I'm seeing my wife, my baby. She turns and walks away. And I see Sharice getting emotional crying. And I said, okay. I said, Candace, all right, I'm coming. Just let me fix this. Gave Sharice a hug and said, it's going to be all right. But Sharice said, I want to go too now. So, all right, come on, we'll go. So I'm going up there, I said, I got to give some peace and I got to give some comfort to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kenny's like, I just want somebody to hold my hand. I said, okay. So we get there, get Sharice her to hold her hand, you know, going through the process. And I said, so what's going on? What's going on? Let's talk to them. So, I need medicine. They won't bring me this. They won't bring me that. I said, okay. So before I went up there, I was praying, did a lot of praying. And I said, Lord, let me put my hat on and go in there because I'm going to need to have a lot more Jesus in me when I go up in there. Yeah. And, you know, because if I don't have this Jesus in me, I'm going to mess around and be sitting. So let me put Jesus, which I might get the right mindset. So I go with my hat on, go there and see all the nurses and everything, and just calm and just talking, trying to get things to happen and move. And I'm going to tell you, God will put you in a light of glory, just like John the Baptist. He will put you in a light of glory, believe it or not, you'd be suspected. So I get Sharice set in the room with Candace. She's comforting Candace. I go out there and I talk to the nurse who's going with the medication. Just so happened the nurse was working on the medication already when I got there. God's working it out. And I thought, wow. So when I walked back in the room with the nurse, she had all these medicines coming in. Sharice is smiling like, he fixed it. Candace didn't fix it. I'm like, yeah, the Lord fixed it. I'm glad I get to look good, but the Lord actually fixed it. It wasn't me. It was just God's timing that I just happened to walk up in there when the nurse was getting stuff together. But it brought peace and comfort to Candace, you know?
Yeah.
That, you know, she all she knows that my daddy came and I got some drugs, some good drugs. That's all she got. You know. You know, being a messenger of God, we're trying to bring peace and comfort to a world that's hurting.
Amen.
People that want somebody to speak up for them. People that are wanting somebody to say, man, can you please help me? Help me. I'm crying in pain and agony. Will somebody be my defender? Will they show me the right way to go? Will they show me how to change and repent and be what God is challenging me and calling me to be? That's the kind of envoy you need to be. And it's amazing when you're that to people, God will let you get a little glory out of that.
Yep.
So he will let you shine and get a little glory out of that. Next, are you a messenger of prayer? You know, shared about the head earlier, you know, before I actually got to the nurses, I had to do a lot of praying. I prayed a lot. Prayed on the way to the hospital. Prayed in the hospital. I prayed before I spoke to every nurse. And I wasn't praying about them. I was praying about me to make sure I represent God right.
Mm-hmm.
That my attitude, my heart, that I needed to be right. Because that's wrong of me going to tell a nurse, you ain't doing your job right. Well, I'm only there because of my daughter. After my daughter leave, I'm gone. They're there every day. They deal with multiple people, various and different people every day with different attitudes. But I wanted them to see Jesus in me. I wanted them to see a correct messenger of God who will respect what they do and just appreciate them.
Come on.
You know, God was already fixing the situation before I got there. Twice I had to go up there because Candace is in distress. But God was already fixing the situation, you know. The second time I went there, I had to pray. Candace said the nurse wanted me to sit up. She had surgery. They wanted her to sit up. And you know, when you've been cut on, last thing you want to do is what?
Move.
I've been cut. I don't want to move. And I love my daughter to death. And so she called me. They want me to take this pill, this big, giant horse pill. I'm thinking like, I've seen some pills in my life, so I know it's a giant horse pill. To her, it's a big pill, so I had to realize that. To me, I'm like, I thought this bad, like, it ain't nothing. Give me a couple of these, you know. But to her, I understood. They needed her to sit up and get out of bed. And her surgery was done right around her stomach. So when you sit up, what bends? Right at the stomach. So get in the room. And this, I said, has been fun and hilarious because I had to watch myself. And so get in the room, I said, okay, we're going to get you up because they talk about if you don't do right, anything like that, put you back in the ICU. I say, we don't go backwards, we go forward. And so I'm there the whole time and we're having some interaction. And I know she can't laugh, but I'm laughing the pain. And
right.
I said, you should have been born in the 60s. Because you would have came up in the era of Rocky. No pain, man. Rocky, man, you had to do it. Stop yelling, Daddy. Stop yelling. I'm not yelling, Candace. Daddy, you should have. Okay. You should have came up in the 80s with the Rockies. And you could have been up in the 80s. I said, you're being sarcastic now.
Right. Right.
But we're just having a time in action. We got her out of the bed. We got into the chair, and she was like, done. She was like, it took everything out of you. I believe it. I was like, yes, it took everything out of you. But I said, I want you to see the progress we made.
Yeah.
We made progress.
Yeah.
You know, being an envoy means you got to put work in with people.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to put some work in with my little girl. Even when it was uncomfortable, I had to put work in. I don't know about you, but there's a ton of disciples can tell you, it just got uncomfortable working with Sydney sometimes. Being a messenger of God to Sydney to get Sydney to change. Boy, that was some work. But God said he's worth it. Need to put the work in sometime. You know, we got Candace right. Now, I talked to her this morning for Candace Church. And I said, you guys, I said, how you paying for them today? It's a little better, not as bad. See, I told you that, yeah. I said, yeah, get up, get in. Yeah. Do you want me to come? No, Daddy. No. I'm going to call the nurse. I said, Lad, I said, yes, ma'am. I said, well, I'm here if you need me to come and help you move out of that bed because we're going to move forward. We're not going backwards.
Right. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. But being a messenger of God is such an important position.
Yeah.
And being a messenger of God is going to require you to bring good news. The good news is Christ. Being a messenger of God is going to require you to bring peace and comfort to those whose life is out of whack, who's just in disarray, who don't know what to do. And those very same people that you're bringing peace and comfort to, they're going to fight you because they don't like the way that the message is being delivered. They're like, okay, I want the good stuff, but why do we have to go through that? Like my daughter said, why do we got to do that? It's going to be okay.
Right.
You're going to have to be a messenger of tough love. My generation grew up in Rocky. That's all I know.
Amen.
I know Rocky. Rocky fought through a lot of pain and stuff. You're going to need tough love. You're going to have to be a messenger, a praying messenger. It's not so much as praying for the individual, but you got to pray for yourself that you're going to last long with them.
Yep.
Because people can wear you out. It took us 2 hours to get Candace out of the bed and back in the bed.
Wow.
2 hours. Wow. 2 hours down coaching. Now, all of us are thinking about Rocky, but I was thinking about remembering the Titan. I was thinking about every motivation move I can to push this girl. To push the girl 2 hours. Doing that. By that time, I think Julia called me. She's going to say, okay, yeah, go ahead. You good. I think we was out of the bed by then. I said, yeah, go ahead again. And I'm trying to get her back in the bed. But it was 2 hours. And I was exhausted from it. I was like, man, I've been doing some serious work. But that's what an envoy does. You're going to have to be in there to fight with people.
Yep.
It's going to be exhausting in, but it's going to be rewarding. You got to be an envoy, messenger of God, who says, I'm in it to win it, and I'm in it for the long haul. And yes, even if it takes more than 1 minute or 5 minutes, if it takes 2 hours to get them to see the goals that we're going to achieve in their life,
amen.
Amen.
I'm in
it.
Amen.
You need to be that type of envoy. You know, you need to be God's messenger who brings good news, a messenger who brings peace and comfort, and a messenger who is a praying messenger. For God, for his people, for yourself. As God's messenger, John was expressing the need for spiritual cleansing. Wow. which is meant to prepare you for Jesus in his coming kingdom. Just like John, I was preparing Candace for the things that are ahead, the journey that is ahead. But we had to get her right.
Yep.
You know, Candace's blood had toxin in it. It was so bad that her blood was producing bacteria.
Wow.
You know, people's lives have toxins in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And their lives are producing bacteria called wickedness and unrighteous behavior.
That's right.
Every day, people's lives have toxins in it. But you know, you are one of God's antibiotics. For their lives. You are here to help cleanse them. Prepare them for better living. I remember when talking with the doctor, they were just talking about how Candace's blood was just so toxic, producing bacteria. And I remember the first 2 days was rough on Candace. She was sleeping with her head over a trash can. Just like, I got the picture, it was just like this. 2 days.
Wow.
And everything that was coming up was yellow. And they were saying, because the body's, the blood's so toxic. But the doctor said, and I remember the nurse saying, she's a very sick girl. This is like the first initial, she's a very sick girl. They said, but we believe we can get there. The doctor said, we've got to get this bacteria out of the body. He said, because the more your blood produces bacteria, it goes to your brain, and you don't start thinking straight.
You know,
so you get really, your mind just getting out of whack. The chemicals get imbalanced. And I remember them just sharing that, you know. But they said, we're going to take it, deal with this, with these this bacteria, this antibiotics in it, and it's going to help to make it right, you know. People are the same way. People are the same way. They're not thinking right. They're not thinking straight. They're not realizing their connectivity to God and what it should be like.
Wow.
But this is what God says, you and I come in the picture.
Yep.
God says, you're the antibodies. We're going to have to help them to think right. Because the more that they stay where they are, the more unhealthy bacteria they produce in their life, the more wickedness and unrighteousness they produce in their life. You are God's antibiotic for the people that can't see clearly. Messengers of God don't hide. We make ourselves known. Finally, guys, in Mark 1, verse 6, it says, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. It says, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was the message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Guys, this final point is simple living and mission focused. Simple living and mission focused. You know, I was looking at on Facebook talking about, it was showing the old TV guys. Some of us remember, these got old TV guys for the day.
Yeah.
And one of the things that showed on one of them, which we still do today in People Magazine and stuff, they had Tom Selleck in his young days. I can't think of other guys, I know their face, but one of them played on like Trevor John and the, but anyway, say, you know, here are the sexiest men in the world. And I thought, wow, you know, I was like, hey, yeah, I've got a lot of magazines. I'm like, here are the prettiest people in the world. Here are the most beautiful people in the world. You see so-and-so's son and daughter, they look like this and like that. And I thought, man. But it does speak about, man, here are some of the most righteous people in the world, or trying to be the most righteous people in the world, or trying to be the most godly people in the world. Here are the people who are more concerned about the state of the world. You know, I don't ever see books like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just don't. You know, John lived an uncomplicated life. He just lived an uncomplicated life. You know, but that life, it allowed him to focus on his mission. Things become complicated when you become involved with too many things, or you add too many things to your plate,
right?
Or you're just doing so much that there's no room for you to focus on anything else. And you suffer from that, and you lose out. And I'm pretty sure all of us have heard a story about this rich man who like had it all, really top office man, businessman in the world, had 3 failed marriages, dating some woman right now, and he's about to take a trip, and she didn't want to go, and so he just hopped in his car and rode down to Mexico, and got down there, and they say he was trying to find a private island just to go. And they told him about a guy who owned an island out there. You can go out there. He gets to that island, and he's on the island. He's like, wow, this is just beautiful. This is amazing. And he sees this young man come up off his boat, was fishing, and the young man was like, yeah, you welcome to stay. This is my island. You're good. And he starts telling the man, you know what you can do? You can make a lot of money and then, you know, get your beautiful wife and raise your family and never have to worry about nothing else in the world. And the young man, of course, looks back at him and says, I already have that.
Yeah.
So why would I want to complicate my life with all that other stuff?
Right.
That's how we are sometimes.
Cool.
We want to complicate our life with so many other things
right.
that we fail to realize all the things that we lose.
That's right.
All the things that we lost out on. All the other lives that we've hurt.
Yes.
John was able to be successful at his mission because he kept his life uncomplicated. I live in a desert. Sand all the time. I got sand between my toes. I'm tired of sand between my toes. Just tired of sand between my toes. I eat grasshoppers, but for the fancy people, we'll call it locusts. And I eat honey. Think about that. Could you live on that dietary restriction? But the Lord said, I need you to live that way, and I need you to live out there. Life was simple. John was content, and God was making sure people were coming out to him from the cities. He wasn't going into the city. They were coming out to the desert to hear the good news. They were confessing their sins. They were repenting, and they were being baptized long before the Holy Spirit was even being introduced into the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Ain't that something? The power of God. You know, John lived an uncomplicated life, you know. That life allowed him to focus on his mission, which was to prepare the way for the first coming. He was a royal official sent to make straight paths for Jesus.
Amen.
So what does that mean for us right now? Well, you and I were called to prepare the way for what coming?
The second coming.
God knows we've been bestowed with the same title, the same position as John. I think we should be making straight paths.
Amen.
For the coming of Jesus. Ain't that something? We don't think about it. We're looking away. But Jesus says, I'm coming back. He says, I'm coming back. And until I get back, I have work for the messengers to do. John did his work in his day. Now it's our turn to do our work in our day, in our generations. You see, we're being called to be a royal priesthood. You know about that over in 1 Peter.
Right.
Talk to somebody. We're called to be a royal priesthood. To accomplish your mission, you're going to have to keep your life uncomplicated.
Yep.
That's it. You're going to have to keep your life uncomplicated. To be God's royal envoy, messenger, representative to the people, you need to live a simple life. You just do. Just live a simple life. To make straight paths for the second coming, you're going to need to share the good news, preach the good news, live the good news, and remember, the good news is Jesus.
Amen.
Guys, let's be good envoys. Let's not tweak the message. Let's deliver the message in whole to everybody we come encounter with. Let's believe in the message that God has entrusted us with. And let's do God good. Let's be honorable, and royal envoys, and let's take the message of the good news to a dying world. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.